Isn't today great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
Oh yeah, it's a great day. Take on the cultural cacophony and surround ourselves with music too on the Amy Beth Darkway Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, politics, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Hey, well, a full week, he's got the gavel, and the chaos has ensued. We'll talk about that. Hey, we got some great music, too, anniversaries, birthdays, milestones, and your forgotten 45s, all designed to rev us up and soothe our soul at the same time. MLK Day is coming up on Monday, January 16th, so we'll talk about his legacy. A little music to surround that, too. And get you in the mix. You're listening live. Early start today. It's Saturday, January 14th. It's 8 a.m. out west, 10 a.m. central, 11 a.m. here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Facebook page, found the chat box available for those tagging along for the live ride. And Twitter, of course, 24/7, at AB Writes. All being held with a talented, tenacious TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML at headquarters. Show brought to you in part by Dunkin'. America runs in Dunkin'. Dark roast coffee lovers, try Dunkin' Midnight. America runs on Dunkin'. And by PopNet, Arts, Culture, Conversation, on air, online, up and running 24/7, featuring the Amy Beth Darkway Show and those robust roundtables. So, people, get ready. We're taking it all on. I'm Amy Beth Darkway Show. Happy to have you aboard.
Don't need As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto, and his mama cries,
'cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed.
Don't you understand? Your child needs a helping hand. He's gonna be an angry old man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world
a hungry little boy with a red nose plays in the street as the cold wind blows in the ghetto.
And his hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. A gun, steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far, and his mama cries.
His mama cries.
As the crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as her young man dies,
as a young
on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries.
And his mama cries.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto.
In the ghetto. Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto.
My kind. Call him all.
on Martin Luther King Jr. on the Amy Beth Arkwe Show as we honor him on his birthday weekend and all the great service that he gave to this country. James Taylor, what a beauty. I love that song. And a great version of Border Song from Aretha Franklin, the early duo, writing duo of Elton John and Bernie Taupin. Great, profound lyrics. Can we have peace? We can. We have to work at it. We have to, as paraphrasing Dr. King, you have to drown out the darkness and the pain with love, not hate. Hate isn't going to win. You've got to conquer it and combat it with love. And we all have to do it. It's all our choice. It's all our obligation to pay things forward, pay peace and love and understanding forward. And the only way to do it is to do it individually and then collectively, if you know what I mean. Because there's a lot going on out there, we know, with polarization and with really rancid rhetoric on the right-wing side and some of this violent activity that's happened. We can't completely curtail it, I guess, but we can overshadow it if we all learn and work towards kindness and light in a greater way. So that's what we're trying to do. And music can help us do it, these great songs for sure. Speaking of which, a great duo by the beauty of technology, In the Ghetto, two voices, two Presleys, Elvis Presley and his great daughter, Lisa Marie. Boy, she had a great voice too, didn't she? We lost her just the other day due to cardiac arrest after she was at the Golden Globes honoring the movie that celebrated her father's legacy, Elvis, the Baz Luhrmann film, which in my opinion was kind of a mixed bag, but Austin Butler, who won the Golden Globe for Best Actor, was an outstanding performance. He paid tribute to Elvis and also to his family who supported his efforts, both Priscilla Presley and Lisa Marie. They were there to celebrate with him. And apparently people said she looked ill and she didn't feel so great that night and passed away at cardiac arrest. Colorful life she led, only 54 years old, married a few times, including to Michael Jackson, Nicolas Cage. The love of her life apparently was the father of her, two of her kids, Danny Keough, who I guess they were sort of reunited. They were living together for the last year or so in her house or his house. I'm not sure the logistics. They'll follow the gossip pages. But, they had a real blow a couple of years ago when their son, Benjamin Keough, died due to suicide in 2020, and, you know, there was something with a broken heart and a mom's heart, so heart goes out to Priscilla and the other kids. The legacy lives on, but wow, what a tragedy, what a sorrow. But she did have a great voice in her own, and maybe overshadowed by her dad's legacy, of course, in charge of, I don't know who gets Graceland now, but it'll stay in the family for sure. And People Get Ready, a beautiful version with Rod Stewart, who is still a young Turk at 78 earlier this week. That was his birthday, and sadly, the guitar god Jeff Beck, also 78, passed away this week after a brief illness of bacterial meningitis, I think he suffered, the family said. So we lost another great one. Boy, these people are coming, drifting out, going to the next realm, but that's the nature of life, I suppose. But what a guitar god, and what a great version his artistry has shown in that song, too, indeed. It is the end of Beth Arkwe Show. Music can do it for you, can it? It soothes your soul. It revs you up at the same time as we got plenty to take on in the cultural good cacophony way. And anything, everything on your mind, Twitter is A.B. Wright. Phone line 347-857-4505. Facebook page, PopNet Chat Box. Going a little early today, if you're joining us late, I hope you got the social misses. We've been busy. Tight schedule. I got another radio obligation coming up in a little while, so I've got to squeeze these things in when I can as we do it. But I try to be here for you and do it consistently. And, of course, we always have all the shows on podcast as well. So anything on your mind, let's see, of course, the Congress finally in session after that craziness last week with Kevin McCarthy having the gavel, still spineless, still weak, not heading on, taking the George Santos situation head on, I don't think, so much. He's, sort of wiggling around it, saying, well, go through ethics, but he didn't really, he's not been charged with anything yet, so yada, yada, yada. Well, it all comes down to the fact they have a very slim margin. But meanwhile, a lot of folks in the Republican delegation in New York are calling for this guy to resign, because most of these people, just not the natural embarrassment, but also the fact that a lot of these people won in what are traditionally Democratic-leaning districts, and they don't want to have to go back to their constituents. And I'm so, you know, this whole saga and the fact that we lost the House by such a few seats, and most of them were because of New York, infuriates me, and I'm finding it so disheartening as someone who worked so hard on the Sean Patrick Maloney reelection bid and made so many calls. And he was in charge of the reelection bid for the entire Democratic caucus, and somebody was asleep at the wheel. And the Democrats, in terms of opposition research, in terms of advertising, they waited till late because Lee Zeldin, who was from New York, a former congressman, very conservative, ran a very good race, a better race than expected against our Governor Kathy Hochul, and that swayed some voters, I guess, in these districts. It's just a shame. And we got stuck with George Santos, who it looks like they knew something about. There was opposition research. There was some, but a weak attempt by this guy Zimmerman, who ran against Santos, to do something about it, but the Democratic committee didn't do much. And there was only one media outlet, which is a conservative paper, I think it's called the North Shore Ledger, I believe, on Long Island, that actually did expose some of this stuff and wrote an editorial, and this is a paper that leans right and said that we would like to support a Republican, but we can't, so we are actually endorsing Zimmerman. Well, they obviously didn't have enough sway with their voters either. It's just craziness. And this guy who yesterday, I don't know if you caught a glimpse of this, or, you know, I don't hear or watch the show, but I certainly saw the outtakes or the clips that they showed on some other cable shows of Matt Gaetz guest hosting for Steve Bannon on his podcast, interviewing Santos, and the two of these guys together is just amazing. And of course, Gaetz did ask Santos about his money, and he dodged the money in the campaign, which is under scrutiny now, how he got all this money and lent it to himself when he really didn't have, you know, as they would say in the old country, a pot to piss in a year ago, but all of a sudden he's got all this money that he's made. Unbelievable. He danced around it and did the right-wing talking points. But my favorite line was, I've lived an honest life. Like, he should have said, believe me. He's taking a page from the Trump playbook for sure. Twitter, AV Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, 5-minute chat box. A lot of folks chiming in about this. AZ says, of course, George Santos and the Republicans knew of George Santos's lies. They knew. All that matters, the right-wing GOP are votes and not what is right and truthful. McCarthy will never kick him out unless he really has no choice, because they need every last vote because there's so few of them. Yeah, there's so few in the majority, and that's what, as a New Yorker and someone who worked for the Maloney reelect campaign, I am so disheartened. I really can't believe that. It's just crazy. Anyway, what else do we have here? Anything else on this? He's got to go now, but you know he won't, so says Reba on Twitter. Yeah, I get that's true. And Linda says, he used so many different names, do we even know what his real name is? Remember, he used the name DeVolder as well, both Anthony and George DeVolder. Why does he have so many names? He seems like a sham and a scam artist. Yeah, very, very curious indeed. Thought in that chat box, Dom chiming in, happy to have you back, glad to hear it. Still looking for those weekday shows. Dom, come over to PopNet, PodStream, Arts Radio Network. You'll find me on the weekday shows, but I appreciate you having me back. And then he adds, yeah, Santos should resign. He won't. I kind of tend to agree with that, too. Fritz says, the Democrats are always playing the weak hand. Same thing with the classified document situation. Not a good deal at all. The Republicans are better at campaigning and winning over voters. Well, not really, because they didn't win over enough voters. They did get the red trickle, not the red wave that they wanted or anticipated. But, yeah, the Democrats are not as hard-line campaigners. They don't pull out all the stops, usually, because they want to take the high road. But sometimes the high road, if you take the high road, you wind up in the ditch, if you know what I'm saying. So I hear you. Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, pop in the chat box, too, if you're taking along for the live Saturday, January 14th ride. But when it comes to the lies, the conspiracies, the craziness in Congress and beyond, we ain't seen nothing yet. Weigh in. I'm here with our cliche.
Republican congressman-elect already under fire for lying about his education, work history, Jewish heritage, and claims that his grandparents survived the Holocaust. Now there are questions about whether George Santos lied about his own mother's death.
They found tweets where he claimed to be half black and half Caucasian.
He's facing renewed fraud charges in Brazil. He's accused of paying for items using a stolen checkbook.
He's a compulsive liar.
I'm George Santos, and I have only one thing to say.
I'm half black, I'm a Jew, I graduated from Baruch. My grandpa fled a war, but with this even more, I invented root beer float. I'm the guy from Quaker Row, and that's not even all the stuff I am. I'm Chinese from Belize, and my hair is made of beads. I'm a devil. None of these are lies. New York Marathon, I ran it. I may put on Idle Planet. I swear it on both of my mother's graves.
I'm George Santos, and I paid for this ad with a checkbook stolen in Brazil.
Thank you.
asylum. The far right, it's holding America hostage.
There is no obstacle this body can overcome.
And Lauren Boebert, you know, with all due respect, I mean, the woman barely won her race.
Do you consider yourself a serious legislator?
Well, absolutely.
The world will be gone.
Of course Joe Biden's the president.
You remember when I skydived?
That never happened, Jimmy.
Neither did this.
You can see one of the earlier pictures where I'd actually stiff-armed him. And, you know, I knew he'd lost his cool.
Lord, we need one more bad boy billionaire raised up.
Oh, they throw gays off buildings. So?
We don't do something immediately. Our country is gone.
When Marjorie Taylor Greene raced down the aisle to take a selfie with Kevin McCarthy, which may have been his first act as speaker.
So sometimes democracy is messy, but I would argue that's exactly how the founders intended it.
It's a...
Thank you.
picking up Earth, Wind, and Fire's Fantasy on the Amy Beth Arkley Show for that fabulous, known as, at least for now, George Santos. And in honor of Eric White, who kept the beat for that band for so many years, who passed away last week at the age of 69. Wow. So many musicians are transitioning. It's hard, but the music lives on, that band, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I know a few other folks from that band have passed away, but, boy, they have been a stalwart since the 70s, and their music, their legacy, does indeed live on. A great one from REM, early 80s, Exhuming McCarthy for William, who pointed out that song to us this week, and I just love it. It's so telling and so prescient about Joe McCarthy, but also could be about the spineless wonder known as the squeaker of the house, Kevin McCarthy. We'll see how his reign goes, for sure. Last week in the GOP, the machinations of all the craziness put together by our friends at the Lincoln Project, Little Lies from Fleetwood Mac for Nancy, with some kind words on the Facebook page. Thank you so much, my dear. Love playing with you in real time as well. And The Late Show, the folks there having some fun with George Santos and the so-called honest life he's living. Knickerbockers with Lies for Pearlie and for Fritz, and a classic from BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive, Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. I think that's true when it comes to all the congressional mayhem and right-wing conspiracy theories. For sure, all the noise is out there. And also a great song to honor the man that kept the beat for BTO, Robbie Bachman, who passed away yesterday at the age of 69. Wow, drummers in heaven. Big brother Randy said of his younger brother, maybe Jeff Beck needed a drummer. Wow. Profound indeed. But as we said, the music lives on. It is the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Anything, everything on your mind, Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, should you be joining us live on Saturday, January 14th. We also have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box available. Anybody chiming in? The classified document situation, we talked a little bit about that on PodStream earlier this week in PopNet. Biden found, but some lawyers that were cleaning out his various rooms, offices found some documents from the time when he was vice president. So we're dating back 7-8 years ago. Nobody asked for these documents. Nobody knew they were missing. They were so-called classified documents. But they immediately turned them over to the National Archives and notified the DOJ, thus gaining the Biden his own special counsel prosecutor in this guy, Herr, who was a Trump appointee. Nothing wrong with that necessarily, but they jumped to that right away, I guess just for perception cases, because it took a while before they appointed Jack Smith, the special prosecutor in the case against Trump. Big difference, in case you didn't notice, whereas Biden immediately turned over these documents that nobody was looking for, whereas Trump refused to took a bunch of documents and refused to return them when they asked over and over again for the National Archives, and that's how the subpoenas were issued, and that's how the court-sanctioned FBI search, not a raid, a search, happened, because he refused to return them. So there is a big difference, but is this something that was sort of a gift inadvertently handed to Trump? I think this guy, this is a charlatan of the first order, born under a lucky star. By the way, his company was found guilty and fined $1.6 million, but he's not going to jail. His schlepper bookkeeper, CFO Weisselberg, who's about his same age, is going to Rikers Island for a few months. Only a few months, people would say he deserves more time. But what about Trump? His name is on the on the organization. He himself did not get implicated. I don't get it. Alvin Bragg, the DA in New York, dances and weaves around this, but it just doesn't, you know, he keeps saying the investigation is ongoing. We'll see if he ever gets an indictment for anything. I'm putting my money on the woman in Georgia, Fannie Willis, who is the DA investigating the election shenanigans. Perhaps the grand jury returned a report, which the media keeps talking about, but we aren't going to see the results of it or the report for another couple of weeks. Boggles my mind on that regard, too. But anyway, the one thing I will say about this classified document thing, I think, and I said this before, they need to streamline the process for checking out these documents, having somebody do it, maybe a librarian, somebody who's really, you know, good at keeping track of this stuff, because it does happen. Other people say it's kind of routine where it does happen. It's not done for nefarious reasons. People just commingle documents when they're cleaning out and transitioning from one office to another. That might happen, but there should be a way to track it if these documents are indeed so important that they need to be classified. But it is far different. The Biden situation is far different from the Trump situation. If you don't understand that, you're not paying attention. I'm sorry. I don't care what your politics are. I know the right wing is going to eat it up, and they are making hay with it when they were ignoring the severity of the Trump situation. They're going to town on this. It makes no sense. So you have to look at it. But I will say, in future, they should have a more streamlined way of doing it. Baz says the Beltway media will always choose to ignore fascism and Trump's many crimes just to attack President Biden and the Democrats. They love and they miss Trump and they want him back, that's for sure. But he needs to go. It's a big difference. There is a big difference. There is a big difference. I don't know about that, but yes, they do try to sometimes do that. Chad on Facebook says, the problem is that Biden and his people handed the Trump idiocy, who have no moral compass, a sword. It's a small one, but it's still a sword to stab back. From a political standpoint, this was one stupid move by Biden. Well, again, I don't know if it was a stupid move. It was inadvertent. It was a mistake, and people make mistakes. That's true. And Jennifer says, it's a completely specious argument to suggest that simply because a pack of hyenas is waiting around for everybody to make a mistake, that no one should ever make a mistake. Let's point the finger in the right direction at the hyenas. Because, yeah, I kind of agree, Jennifer, everybody makes mistakes. And William says, part of the country seems to have not learned or to have forgotten that two wrongs do not make a right, that Donald Trump, a narcissistic psychopath, gets this wrong is a textbook symptom, but that a significant percentage of American population gets it wrong, we've entered the Twilight Zone. Indeed, I agree with that one. And Laura says, of course, if Biden had a pimple on his behind, they would try to impeach him for it. Yeah, I'm afraid, Laura, that's going to happen for sure. Assuage your anxieties, folks. Plunge into the creative well, and I think you'll feel a little better and re-embrace your inner artist. When folks do it with the Inspiration to Action Challenge, it has helped them sometimes. Like Danny in Brandywine, Pennsylvania, who says, thank you. You've spirited me on in the challenge. I am feeling better and lighter, and I'm not sure where it leads, but as you say, the process is everything. Well, it's not everything, but it's a big part of the thing. And for some people, it is everything. And if it makes you feel better and lighter and lead your life in a more creative way, that's the greatest way to do it. So you'll find it. Keep doing it. Keep trying, and you'll find what it is you're looking for and what you're trying to do. Appreciate it, Danny. Thank you so much for sharing, and please keep us posted. Inspiration in Action, if it's worked for you, I'd love to hear from you. On the other hand, if you want to push in the right direction, let's kick off the new year with some creativity coaching and counseling. The first session is always on me. Either way, please reach out via the website, amybetharkawy.com. Easy access through the Twitter feed. Hey, while you're there, peruse my award-winning Eliza Gordon Mystery Series. Other goodies are there. You can chime in, too, with guest suggestions, big story, forgotten 45 requests. We have links to the podcast and also social media connection links. So it's all there for you. One-stop creative shopping at the website, amybetharkawy.com. All right. As we move on, speaking of creativity and folks who piled in a lot of creativity and left us a legacy of, oh, so many great stories, didn't have that much time on this earth. The late, great Jim Croce, who died in that tragic plane crash in September of 1973, only at the age of 30, would have celebrated his great 80 on January 10th. And boy, oh boy, it really influenced for me. I think I have all the albums that he ever released. I think there were three studio albums and one compilation of, and there was probably a greatest hits too, so five, and a compilation of outtakes and live takes that I was so enthralled with him that I have all of them. I think I'm on vinyl and they're well worn. I'll have to whip them out again, give them a listen because there's so many great stories. I mean, really, the love songs are great too, of course. Photograph and Memories, I Have to Say I Love You in the Song, a lot of good love songs, but so noted for those story songs, those great characters from Roller Derby Queen to Big Jim Walker, Speedball Tucker, Rapid Roy, and of course, one of the greatest of all time, Bad Bad Leroy Brown. A lot of folks love that one, for Vinny, for Pearlie, and for Shay, and for a lot of folks. Thank you, Jim Croce. Your heavenly 80, we're still celebrating you here on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Boy, you left us behind so many great stories.
floor. Leroy looked like a jigsaw puzzle with a couple of pieces gone.
And it's bad, bad Leroy Brown.
Yeah. Shadow one. Biscayne Bay, where the Cuban gentlemen sleep all day. I went searching for the song you used to sing.
Show in honor of Donald Fagen's 75th birthday earlier this week. Donald Fagen, by the way, is the stepdad to Amy Helm, who is Levon Helm's daughter. You know, interesting, intriguing musical marriages. But really, great Steely Dan, another band, another bunch of songwriters that played with my imagination back when I was a kid and still do, some of the great characters they have. And Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page, honor of his 79th birthday, and I forgot, oh, speaking of great stories, the story, the complicated story, love story between Joan Baez and Bob Dylan captured in her classic Diamonds and Rust, a favorite song of mine and a favorite of Christine's and Vivian's. Yeah, one of the best. Joan Baez, 82 years old earlier this week. She is ageless. She has still got a great voice, although she says it's not as strong as it once was, but still pretty darn good. And an activist to the core, of course, and a visual artist, if you see some of her stuff online. It's a breathtaking. Creativity Kids, Fountain of Youth, indeed. Joan Baez, a national treasure and the Kennedy Center honoree just last year, I guess, right? Good stuff, indeed. And speaking of folks who finally getting their due, Pat Benatar, sizzling 70 on January 10th, I believe, with Shadows of the Night. She and her husband and collaborator, guitarist Neil Giraldo, finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just this past fall. Boy, do they deserve it, and they still look and sound great. They did a great set. And, of course, speaking of things that are just timeless, Jim Croce celebrated his heavenly 80th on January 10th, left us due to that horrible tragic plane crash in September of 1973 at only the age of 30. But boy, oh boy, he left behind some great stories, didn't they? Including Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Love that one, which we sent out to a bunch of folks, including folks came in later on the PopNet Chatbox. Two very similar but different takes. Carmine, who said, love your music and love the choice of Jim Croce. More, please. Yeah, okay, we can do it. Absolutely. We'll look into more Jim Croce's and love it. My pleasure. And Sonny, who says, you know I love your show, love your vibe, but you got to get on the right track with more Jim Croce's, please. More Jim Croce songs, please. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Two separate people chiming in. And you can chime in, too, of course, at the website, amybetharkawi.com. Easy access through the Twitter feed. And speaking of which, you can friend me on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at AB Writes. Our producer, Trudy Hart, is at Radio Trudy. If you're done with the Twitter thing, of course, we're on Popman Chatbox, Facebook, and through the website. So all those grounds are covered. One final time around the social media horn before we stash out of here. I know we're running a little late, but that's okay. On George Santos, who's got to go, so is Linda, but the Republicans are too chicken to get it, to make it happen. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. And Portia on Twitter talking about Martin Luther King Day. What I dread are Republicans and their hypocrisy. Watch, they all quote him on Martin Luther King Day. Empty indeed. Yes, empty rhetoric. I mean, words do matter, but just putting out a Martin Luther King quote and pretending that you're woke is not the answer, if you know what I mean. Pay it forward in words and deeds and do the right thing. We can all reach a higher ground. We're going to leave you with one from the Blind Boys of Alabama, that great Stevie Wonder classic, as we say thank you to Trudy and Aurora in the booth, NL headquarters from TCS. And you, please drive safe, play nice, dream big, and come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. You know I love you all.